I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The problem with the world is that, well, quite frankly, we are all disposable in one way or another. We all fall short of the judgments of the world. Now, nobody does it in the same way. Somebody might not have enough money. Another person might get too old. Another person might not seem to be a success in the eyes of the world. Whatever it is, in all sorts of ways, the world judges us conditionally. We only matter in the world as much as we are able to meet the high judgment bar of the world. And there are all sorts of ways in which we fall short of the world, and we find ourselves in some ways feeling as though we are being pushed out. We don't matter anymore. The reality is, I would like to tell you that this is a new problem that just happened in the 21st century. That it was only in the 21st century when the world and all of its power became a harsh taskmaster. But what we know about salvation history is that, quite frankly, the problem of being judged harshly and conditionally by the world goes back all the way to the beginning with Adam and Eve. As soon as people turned away from God and found their worth in the world, what they found was they were only being judged conditionally about how they could get over the bar of the world's acceptance of who they were. Now, at the beginning, what we know, and you know I love the story of Adam and Eve, what we find is that Adam and Eve, as soon as they turn away from God, the first thing they realize is that they're naked. What they realize is they're not all that they thought they were. And the first thing they do is they put clothing on. And when God comes to them, he says to them, "Who told you you were naked? Who told you you weren't good enough? Who told you that you should be ashamed of what you look like? Who told you that you could hide under a bush from me?" So the problem of the world's judgments are a problem that it comes to bear at the beginning of time, and the salvation history is in many ways an unfolding of how we forget who we are in relationship to God by being in some ways seduced by all the wiles of the world and all of its power and all of its conceits. Just as Adam and Eve forgot who they were when they listened to the serpent, so we forget who we are when we listen to all the ways that the world seduces us. And that is the story of salvation history. When the Israelites went to Egypt, they went to Egypt and soon they forgot who they were in relationship to God. What they now knew, being in Egypt for a while, was Pharaoh who was their master. It was no longer Yahweh who was their master. It was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's judgments were always, "You're not enough. You haven't done enough for me. You're not good enough for me. Work harder for me. You aren't good enough." And so, When Yahweh calls Moses, he calls Moses so that Moses might help the people remember who they are in relationship to God. They have forgotten who they belong to, and right now the Israelites believed that they were the ones who belonged to Pharaoh and not to God. And so When Moses goes and he gets the Israelites and they walk through the Red Sea and they're in the wilderness is the place you go where you struggle to remember who you are in relationship with God. In the wilderness, God is present. And God gives all of these signs to the Israelites that he indeed is present. Joshua, can you name a sign that God gives the people in the wilderness? A burning bush is the sign he gives to Moses. Bread. How about you, Matt? Can you tell me a sign of the people in the wilderness? Yes, and the water came out of it, right. So we have all of these signs of God being present with God's people. There's the manna, there's the water, there's the rock, there's the quail, there's the column of fire, there's the column of smoke, there's the tabernacle, there's the law itself, which is designed to help the people remember who they are in relationship to God. But on the way of getting the law, the great symbol of who they are in relation to God, the people say, we don't know who this Moses and this God of his are. And so they go to Aaron, they say, build us a golden calf so we might have something to worship. And so as God is giving them the great sign to remember who they are and how they should behave in relation to one another and in relation to him, they're dancing around a golden calf, worshiping a golden calf of their own making. They have forgotten who they are in relationship to God. And when Elijah comes to the people again and says, remember who you are in relation to God, these prophets of Baal, these priests of Baal, what they want you to do is bow down to the powers of the world. What they want you to do is give them your children for sacrifice. What they want is you to become a servant to the world. And Elijah, in his ministry, goes out into the wilderness to the same Mount Horeb / Sinai that Moses and the people went to in the wilderness. And Moses and Elijah goes to the River Jordan. And when he's at the River Jordan, on the bank of the River Jordan, the fiery chariot and steeds of God come down and pick him up. And his mantle drops to the ground, and his follower, Elisha, picks up his mantle. And soon Elisha will be healing Naaman the Syrian in the River Jordan. And the prophets will continue to call people to remember who they are in relationship to God. Remember that you always matter to God. Remember that God always loves you. Remember that God created you. Remember who you are. Remember that the world will always judge you harshly. And remember that the world will dismiss you when you are no longer of use to it. And so, John the Baptist comes to the River Jordan and he starts saying to the people of Israel, repent, repent, repent. Now for us, when we hear that word repent, we go, oh my God, I better start feeling bad about all of my sins. But really, what John the Baptist was saying is, remember that God loves you. Remember to turn back and see who God is and who you are. Remember what God has done all the way from the beginning of creation. Remember that when God created everything, he said, this is good. Remember that God sent Moses to his people to go get them so that they would remember that God loved them. Remember who you are. And as crazy as John the Baptist looked, as crazy as he sounded, the people knew that he was speaking truth because the people were being oppressed by all the powers of the world. The people knew they needed to go down to the wilderness where John was and to get into the River Jordan where John was and to turn away from the power of the world and the judgment of the world and turn again to God so that they might receive what it is that God wanted them to have, which was his very presence, to know that they were loved unconditionally by God. And so, our reading begins with Jesus of all people, the one who is to come, comes to John and he says, John, I need to be baptized. And John, of course, is confused by this, as I think many of us are confused by this. Why would the one who is to come, the one whom John was preparing the people to receive, why is he being baptized? And so John says, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me, and you come to me asking for baptism? And so Jesus says this. Right now, this is good. And this is to fulfill all righteousness. And when you hear that, this is to fulfill all righteousness, that is your clue that Jesus is not saying, I want to be baptized for the same reason that the people you baptized were baptized. I am being baptized to continue the ministry, John, that you are doing. I'm being baptized for the people. I am being baptized because right now they're still out of alignment with God. They need to be back in the right relationship with God. And my baptism is part of them becoming in right relationship with God. When I'm baptized, this great sign, which will be an entryway into me and ultimately into the triune God, Well, when I'm baptized, this will be the great sign that says, come on, you're all invited. Come on in. You've all been invited to be with God. And so, John consents. He gets it. Oh, I've been preparing the people so that they might be in Jesus. And so, Jesus is baptized by John. And when he's baptized by John, lo and behold, a dove comes down, which is the Holy Spirit, and a voice comes out of heaven. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And in the water of the River Jordan, Jesus is making it clear who the people really are. I not only have been sent by God, I have brought you God. I have brought God to God's people so that God's people will know that they are not alone, that the judgment of the world does not prevail, that indeed it is the judgment of God's love that prevails. In other words, Jesus in his baptism, when those words are proclaimed, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It is the big, bright sign that says, come on in. You be baptized in Jesus. You enter into Jesus. And when you enter into Jesus through baptism, guess what? Those words that proclaim that Jesus is my Son, the Beloved, well, now you are participating in those very words. You are my daughter, with whom I am well pleased, the Beloved. You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. In other words, those words, this is good at creation, and it is well, I am well pleased with him, those words of creation and now recreation are being poured upon us in Jesus. And thus, we are given our great invitation to participate in the life of God. Not from afar, not from a distance, not speculatively, but we are called back home to who we were created to be originally. In the beginning, when we were created, God said, it is good. And now, when we are in Jesus, God says, I am well pleased with you. Now, baptism is a sign that says, you're welcome to come on in. And Jesus is a sign that says, come on in me. You'll get to be with God. And so we go and we get to be with God in Christ. But here's the kicker. Not only do you get to be a son and daughter with Jesus, but you not only get to receive the benefits of being in Christ with God, but now you yourselves become signs in the world to what it is that God is doing. Rosemary, how'd you like to go out into the world and be a sign to people that God loves them? That would be wonderful. In fact, you've been doing it your whole life. Right, Lewis? Right. How about that, Jenny? Would you like to be a sign of God's love? Would you like to invite others into it? Right. That's your mission. That's your mission. To enter deeply into Jesus so you might participate in the life of God, so that when we leave here, we might be radiating with joy and love and become signposts for what God is doing, not only with us and for us and in us, but what God is inviting everybody to participate in with Jesus. The good news doesn't stop when I stop preaching. Lord, have mercy on us all if that were the case. The good news doesn't stop when the postlude stops after the service. It doesn't even stop when the coffee is done downstairs. It's just beginning when you leave and you are taking the very living God of out into the world with you. It begins and ends with you being the great sign of God's love to everybody that you meet. Baptism isn't what's going on with Jesus. Baptism's about what's going on with us and who God is creating us to be and recreating us to be and calling us to be in relationship to Him. The good news is that you, in Christ, are the good news. And that you take that good news with the living God out into the world. The world is kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's a short, fat, bald man behind a big green screen, pretending to be somebody important, telling you you don't matter. But you are called to go out into the world and say, that's Bubkiss. You do matter. And God does love you. Don't listen to the short, fat, bald man. That'd be me. I know, Ben. I know. Listen to the one who is to come. Jesus. Yeshua. Yahweh saves. Listen to who you are called to be in Christ. Signs of God's love in the world. Amen.